My friends in Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our coming Lord and Savior Jesus. The text I'd like to focus upon with you this morning is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The return of our Lord Jesus Christ is a strong theme in this epistle of Paul. And he writes in chapter 5 in the first three verses these words, "Now concerning the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And while people are saying, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape." God's Word. Please be seated. In Sutherland Springs, Texas, a small congregation gathered at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning for worship, as they always do on Sunday mornings. At about 20 minutes after 11 o'clock, unbeknownst to the worshipers inside, Devin Patrick Kelly stepped out of his vehicle at a gas station just a half a block away and across the road. He was wearing tactical gear, a ballistic vest, and a face mask. Wielding an AR-15 assault rifle, he immediately began firing in the direction of the church. And as he approached the church, he kept firing until finally he stepped inside and he shouted, "Everyone dies!" And 26 people did die, including 8 members of one family. And the tragic irony is that all of this happened in a room that we call a sanctuary, a place of respite, a place to escape the madness of the surrounding darkness of this world, a place of peace and security that suddenly became anything but peace and security. But how in a dark world like ours? Back in 1965, President Lyndon Johnson spoke at Ohio University in Athens of a great society in which poverty and racial injustice would be altogether eliminated. Huge government spending programs were launched that addressed education and medical care and urban problems and rural poverty. And now here we are, 52 years and $22 trillion into the great society, and you would think that by now there would be peace between the races, there would be security in our neighborhoods and in our cities, and that there would be health care for all. Instead, racial tensions are on the rise, as are violent crimes, according to the FBI. Schools have to be on virtual lockdown all the time. And we still can't seem to get this health care thing figured out. Peace and security. But when and how? If 52 years and $22 trillion isn't enough to achieve it, how long and how much is it going to take? Did you hear about the cyber hacking of the Mandiant company this last summer? Apparently, hackers got into the computer of one employee and they lurked there for about a year, collecting all kinds of credentials of this employee to various parts of their network and various websites. The hackers got their hands on some internal data about some of the clients of Mandiant, as well as some sensitive information about the Israeli Defense Forces. Now, go ahead and guess what kind of company Mandiant is. If you guessed that Mandiant is a cyber security company, you'd be right. Peace and security. But security in what? If even the companies that specialize in security cannot keep their own computers secure, then what is going to keep us secure? The United Nations came into being in 1945, following the devastation of World War II. According to its charter, its central mission is the maintenance of international peace and security. The UN website says that it does this, quote, by working to prevent conflict, helping parties in conflict to make peace, peacekeeping, and creating the conditions to allow peace to hold and flourish. And then it goes on to say, quote, the UN Security Council has the primary responsibility for international peace and security. The General Assembly and the Secretary General play a major, important, and complementary roles along with other UN offices and bodies. Sounds good. And I don't mean to bash the idea of a United Nations. But 72 years later, after all of the billions of dollars that have been poured into the UN, after all of the speeches, after all of the peacekeeping missions, after all of the Security Council meetings, the peace and the security that the United Nations is supposed to maintain seems as elusive as ever. Now rogue nations like North Korea and Iran are getting nuclear capabilities. Islamic terrorists are just bent on killing us. 22 wars around the world right now. Violent gangs like MS-13 are on the rise. Peace and security. But through whom? If the United Nations cannot bring it about, who can? You know, it strikes me, whether we belong to the day or to the night, as Paul describes that here in our text, whether we belong to the light or to the darkness, we all want the same thing. We all want peace and security that lasts, that endures. But if not in a sanctuary, then where? If not after 52 years and $22 trillion, then when and how? If not by the security experts, then by what? And if not by the efforts of the United Nations, then by whom? St. Paul, in writing to the Thessalonians, blows to smithereens those who put their hope and their trust exclusively in the dream of earthly peace and security. Ironically, he says, it is in the very midst of our striving for earthly peace and security that swift and sudden destruction will come upon this earth. St. Peter said, the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. You see, peace and security that is promised and pursued by man is a false and a misleading dream. And those who think that security councils and security systems and United Nations and trillions of dollars and politicians and the passage of time will bring about the peace and security they desire, if that's what you think, you're an idolater. You worship gods that will never deliver what they promise. Put not your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. And I do not mean to suggest by this that we should not pursue earthly peace and security. We should. The Lord Himself says, blessed are the peacemakers. And St. Paul wrote to Timothy that we need to be praying for kings and others who are in authority so that we can lead peaceful and quiet lives, because this is pleasing in God's sight. We should put our time and our money and people and resources into the pursuit of earthly peace and security. But the peace that we pursue is not an end in itself, as if the absence of hostility is the best that we can hope for in life. to the extent that we can successfully create and keep peace, we do honor our Lord. And we create the conditions in which His gospel has free course to be preached so that people may believe in the one who is true peace and security. And that, you see, that's the higher purpose for earthly peace. Not just so that we can be free of hostility in this life, as if that were the be-all, end-all of our existence, but that the kingdom of Christ, with its eternal and perfect peace, can come to more and more people who are still in the darkness of their sin. The only peace that will be forever maintained is the peace that Christ made between God and man when He laid down His life on the cross for our forgiveness and to reconcile us to God. Paul said in Corinthians, all of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And that's why the scriptures call Jesus the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. You see, when it comes to making peace, we are the novices of peace. We are the neophytes of peace. We have no idea how to make any kind of peace that's really going to last, any kind of security that's really going to hold. But Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And in His peace, we have the one and only perfectly secure truth of our lives, that we are at peace with God through Christ, through the life that He laid down for us. We are secure in the arms of our God, in the knowledge of a place with Him forever. And that peace and that security can no more be broken then Christ can be dragged back into His grave. But for those who trust only in princes and ambassadors and politicians and dollars and time to make and maintain peace and security, the second coming of our Lord is going to come as a terrible shock. They will find that the pursuit of peace and security to the exclusion of the Prince of Peace was a horrible mistake. The day of His coming and the swiftness of the destruction will come like a thief in the night, like labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. All their lives they've been striving for peace and security only to discover too late that what they yearned for, what they always assumed would be their own achievement, was in reality a gift of grace all along, freely given through the very one they rejected. They belonged to the night and they belonged to the darkness, but not us. Not us who are in Christ. You are not in darkness, Paul writes, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with Him. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ and in perfect peace and security until life everlasting. Amen.